Good morning.
Good morning.
I know it's a little out of routine here this morning. We switched it up a little bit and only did a few worship songs to start off. But I thought sometimes you just need that extra time at the end to worship. And I think today is one of those days as we continue in our series, Chosen. We started that last week. Well, our tech team's working on getting that up for us. There it is. Last week we began our series, Chosen, as we began the sixth chapter of Acts. And we set up this premise as we began the series, that to be chosen was an honor. It set us apart, and it acknowledged that we had something special to bring to the table. Usually a skill, ability, or in Stephen and the six others, certain character traits that had them stand out from everyone else. Luke identified the traits and the other apostles were looking for to assist in the ministry of taking care of the widows. If you were with us, you recall that. Particularly the widows in the Greek segment. They were having an overwhelming response, and they just didn't have enough resources, people-wise, to be able to handle those widows. So they had to come up with some guys to help assist with that. And the two traits that we really focused in on last week were wisdom and being filled with the Spirit. The question that we ask in relationship to this was, are we ready? Are we ready? And do we have those two traits? Now, hopefully, over the last week, we have been able to consider this and think about our readiness to be chosen to be used by God. Since our purpose in this life is to bring God glory, what good would it be to be chosen and sit idly on the sidelines? Yet, the majority of believers today only do that. They get chosen, they get saved, they receive the salvation that Jesus is willing to offer, and then they just sit in life. They go about whatever they want to do versus what God wants them to do. I mean, think about this. Who goes to the store and simply purchases items to store them? I mean, forever and ever. Maybe some of your great-grandparents did that, because they had gone through the Depression. And some of you have had to clean out those houses and gone, 1915, what? Nobody's going to eat those beans? Gone. Right. You throw it away. Right? The reality is most things would have to be thrown away because they expire. Right? And once they are past their expiration date, nobody's going to eat them. They're no more good. They're garbage. They're garbage. Well, the reality is that each of us has an expiration date. That doesn't mean you're garbage. It just means that you have an expiration date. And once it passes, we're of little use on this earth to the kingdom. While our legacy may live on, our personal activity in sharing and expanding the kingdom is done. At that point, it's up to others to do their part and maybe use our life as an example. And that's what we're studying today. How Stephen's life was used for an example for us. See, once we are chosen, we should expect to be used. We should expect to be used because anything less would be a waste of our lives. The question we must really explore, however, this morning is, are we really willing to be used? Contemplate that question for a second. Are we willing to be used? If you wrote that down, what word would you underline? What word would point out to you? Or stick out to you? I'm going to submit that willing should be the word. To be used by God means we will do things that are outside of the norm. We will be doing what Jesus would be doing. Think about that. We will be doing what Jesus would be doing if he was physically here with us today. Now, for some of you, that just starts this tremor inside of you. You start getting fearful of what that looks like. For others, that begins to make you start thinking, well, what is it that I need to be doing? For others, there's a confidence that's welling up in you that says, wow, I've been doing that. That means I'm doing the right thing because I'm doing what Jesus would be doing. See, when we live for Jesus, we need to look different. We should look different. In fact, the things that we do when we live for Jesus should look outside of this world. They shouldn't look normal. They should be abnormal. Because He's the one who has all power over the world. It's because of him we're able to do the things that we can do. But let me ask you this question, and this is a hard question to contemplate, because I wrestle with this. Do we really expect, as a believer, to be used to do things that seem outside of this world? I mean, if you ask yourself that question, do I expect to be used as a believer to do things that seem outside of this world? Let's look at the beginning of how Stephen was used, because we're going to come back to that question. You can hold that question in your mind. Let's look at the beginning of how Stephen was used in verses 8 through 15 of Acts 6 this morning. And as we read this, keep the question on the screen in mind. As his chosen, are we willing to be used? Okay? Acts 8. So if you have your Bibles open to Acts chapter 6, we're halfway down there, verse 8 through 15, we'll read today. Now Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called. Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Then they secretly persuaded some men to say, "We have heard Stephen speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." So they stirred up the people and the elders and the teachers of the law. They seized Stephen and they brought him before the Sanhedrin. They produced false witnesses who testified, "The fellow never stopped speaking against this holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy this place and change the customs Moses handed down to us." All who were sitting in the Sanhedrin looked intently at Stephen, and they saw that his face was like the face of an angel. Let's pray. Guys, we delve into these passages today. We want to keep in mind the question, are we really willing? Are we ready to be used? Would you help us to wrestle with that? As we look at what Stephen did and what happened in his life, just these few short verses here, would you inspire us, challenge us, draw us in to the desire of your heart for us to be used by you? May you take what this moment is and use it as an inspirational moment within us, a pillar, something that we can look back on and say, that was a moment when I said, I'm all in. I've given all to Jesus, and I want to do things that seem outside the ordinary, outside of this world, because I am yours, Jesus. That's what we pray this morning in your name. Amen. So the beginning of Acts 6 identifies there's an issue, right? Something that needed attention. If you scroll back, remember from last week, there's an issue that needed attention. And the apostles needed men to meet this need. So they instruct the church, using their criteria, to choose men who are identified by these traits, right? We said wisdom and filled with the Spirit. Now, verse 8 zooms in on one of these men, one of the seven who are chosen by the church and the apostles approve of. Let's see what a person with these characteristics can do. Now, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed great wonders and signs among the people. In verse 5, it says the congregation chose Stephen because he was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. But here, once he is chosen, we see it, there's a result of a man who's being filled with faith and the Holy Spirit. The evidence of this is shown in how he applies it. The grace of God was evidenced in him and his power. So how is the grace of God evidenced in a man? How can we see the grace of God in a man? As I read many articles, sermons, and commentaries on this idea, on this subject, as it relates to Stephen, I think Dr. Morissette gave the clearest explanation that paints a clear picture. Accepting a person means we're creating a holding environment where through grace, we invite God to transform people through the presence, the power of his Holy Spirit. Paul says it explicitly in Romans 14:4. "Who are you to judge?" he says. "And they will stand." And why? Because God is able to make them stand. Stephen must not have only continued to grow as a follower himself, but also as he worked with these widows and others in the church. The power of God was evidenced in how he ministered to and interacted with them. Now, I don't know if you've ever dealt with widows, but there can be times when widows can be challenging and demanding.
Amen.
It's hard. I don't know if we should amen that, but it's the truth, okay? It can be hard. But Jesus calls us to love the widows. So that's what we do. So the way that Stephen interacted with them must have represented a grace that he had been given through the Holy Spirit to be able to deal with them. And he was being used by God in powerful ways. Based on Dr. Morissette's assessment, Stephen demonstrated this by not judging them, but ministering to them. And that's what we're called to do. So the question then is there evidence of the grace of God in us? Is the grace of God evidenced in how we interact with people? In how we minister to people? Are we willing to meet people where they are and allow them to grow into the likeness of Christ? If we are, then we're ready to be used by God. The evidence did not stop, however, at the grace of God in Stephen. Look at what else he was able to do. He performed great wonders and signs in verse 8. Not like he's putting on some kind of performance, but the evidence of God was revealed in what he did. Luke does not go into in detail here as to what exactly Stephen did to reveal God's power. But we can imagine, based on other testimonies, he may have been healing people, casting out demons, doing what most would deem as impossible. When we're ready to be used by God, the impossible no longer exists. Stop. I want you to consider those words. When we are ready to be used by God, the impossible no longer exists. The impossible. There's a lot of things that you go around life and go, that's impossible, or this is impossible, or there's no way this is going to happen. I've been there, I do that. But if we're real about our faith, then impossible should not exist. How many of us really believe that? How many of us really believe that with God, the impossible does not exist? That with God, anything is possible? Do we live with that as a constant? Think about that. Church, do you live with the idea that the impossible is possible with God as a constant in your life? See, God told us three times in the Gospels to remind us of his power and how he's outside the norms of this world. When the boy who had a demon inside of him, as recorded in Matthew 17, could not be freed from the demon by the disciples, Jesus rebuked them. And he reminded them in verse 20, with the faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. You can even move a mountain. Nothing will be impossible. Now, Jesus is speaking to ordinary men, mind you. These are simply ordinary men, just like you and I. They're nobody special. He didn't give them extra special powers. They didn't come from a different planet. They came from the ordinary people, the ordinary everyday people. And they were able to do extraordinary things. Why? Because Jesus said that nothing with faith would be impossible. Or how about in Luke, who records the angel speaking of the conception of Jesus and Mary and John the Baptist and Elizabeth at an old age. For nothing is impossible with God, Jesus said. Nothing. Or the angel, I'm sorry. Nothing. Jesus might have been on the scene, but he wasn't speaking at that moment, at least in physical. And then finally, in Luke 18, where Jesus is discussing how hard it is for a rich man to be saved. And those around him that said then, whoa, well, if it's so hard, how can anyone be saved then? And Jesus replied, what is impossible with men is possible with God. For Jesus, nothing was impossible. For Jesus. I'm going to change that preposition. With Jesus. nothing is impossible. That means that you and I can do the impossible with Jesus. Maybe with this in mind, we would be more ready to be used by God, knowing that He can use us to do the things this world deems impossible. Why? Because He's chosen us. He's chosen us. Now we have to understand, because of this, there are going to be things that are almost certain to happen. And that's what we're going to see in the following verses. And actually, as we continue in the story of Stephen, in Acts 6, 9. Opposition arose, however, from the members of the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, Jews of Cyrene and Alexandria, as well as the provinces of Cilicia and Asia, who began to argue with Stephen. See, when people witness the evidence of God in our lives, we're going to face opposition. Even from those who claim to follow God. Because remember who these people are. These are members of the synagogue. These are members of the church, as it was, of that day. The Jewish church. And they're coming against Stephen. As opposition grows, it is likely people will not believe what you know to be true. But this should not discourage us, because if we rely on God's wisdom and remain filled with the Spirit, look at verse 10 at the result. But they could not stand up against the wisdom the Spirit gave him as he spoke. Oops, 10. There we go. Too often we think we don't know enough, or we're afraid to say something because of what people might think or how they might respond. How many times have we received the nudging from the Spirit only to ignore it because we're worried about how the people are going to respond to it? We should talk to that person, or we should do this thing. But we go about doing our normal thing and ignore that because we're afraid. Or we just don't want them to respond negatively. Or we don't think it's possible. That person's never going to believe me. Why would they listen to me? Who am I? Yet, if we are being sensitive to the Spirit, and we are prepared to be used, look at what happens. Those who want to argue will not be able to stand. They can argue all they want, but they're not going to be able to put up a fight against the Holy Spirit. Think about it this way. In every scene from a movie where it seems like evil